Commentary on the Resurrection Account from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And in the end of the Sabbath, when it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, that in this place is signified the latter part of the night, and not what is commonly called the evening, appears first by the following words, when it began to dawn, or to be light. Secondly, it appears by the other evangelists. St. Mark says, when the Sabbath was past, very early in the morning. St. Luke says, very early in the morning. St. John says of Mary Magdalene that she came in the morning when it was yet dark. From all which it is plain that Mary Magdalene and the other pious women came to the sepulchre at the end of the night after the Sabbath day, or when it began to be light, and about sunrise on the first day of the week, on our Sunday. The angel that they see sitting on the stone did not remove the stone to afford a passage to Christ when he arose, for Christ most certainly arose before the angel appeared, but he removed the stone to prepare the way for the women, and to show the soldiers that Christ was arisen. He sat on the stone that the women might know he had removed it, and in the second place that they might not be terrified at the appearance of the soldiers, for he exhorted them not to fear, but to come and see. And lastly, to prevent the soldiers from putting in another body, had they been so disposed. The holy women seem not to have known that there were guards placed near the sepulchre, otherwise they would not have been so solicitous who should roll away the stone for them. The angel who came to testify Christ's resurrection removed the great stone, but Christ was risen before, who, according to all the fathers, rose while the sepulchre was still shut. St. Matthew and St. Mark name but one angel, St. Luke and St. John name two. It may be answered that the women saw one at one time and two at another, one upon the stone out of the monument, which also frightened the guards. Afterwards this angel disappeared, and the women coming near and looking into the vault saw two angels, when he that was on the right side said, "Why seek you him that is living among the dead?" The guards were struck with fear, because they had not that charity for our Redeemer of which he is so deserving, and they became petrified like statues at the thought that the crucified Jesus was arisen from the sepulchre. For these men guarded the sacred tomb actuated more by passion and cruelty than by any sentiment of love and duty. You who love Jesus Christ need not fear. Let those rather fear who through hatred have crucified Jesus. All such, if they do not repent of their wickedness, must have to undergo the greatest extremities of pain. So says St. John Chrysostom. St. Jerome says, those miscreants fear because they have not charity, but fear not you, for I know you seek him that was crucified, who is risen as he promised you. These affectionate women sought Jesus among the dead, who was then among the living. The recent storm of calamities had nearly overwhelmed their faith, and the weight of temptations had so enfeebled their understanding that they came to seek the Lord of heaven as one dead, among the dead. St. John Chrysostom says, the angel blushes not to style Jesus the crucified, for this is now the height and perfection of all good. By these glad tidings he endeavored to expel their fears, speaking with a smiling countenance as the messenger of the most joyful news. He is risen as he said. This is said to put them in mind of what they ought to have remembered and believed. St. Luke is more particular and tells us the angel said, remember how he spoke to you when he was yet in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. By this the angel gave them to understand that if they would not believe him upon his own testimony, they should at least on the testimony of their Redeemer's promises, who had frequently assured them that on the third day he should rise again. So says St. John Chrysostom. It is not without reason that the angel informs the women that Jesus will go before them into Galilee. For Galilee is interpreted transmigration or passage. O happy women who merited the glorious ministry of announcing to a sunk and distressed world the triumphant resurrection of our Redeemer. But thrice happy those souls who in the day of judgment shall deserve to sing in everlasting canticles the joy you now conceive in your breasts at the happy resurrection of Jesus. So says Venerable Bede. Haydock Commentary on the Resurrection Account in the Gospel of St. John. As our Savior had been interred in great haste, the holy women who had before accompanied Jesus in all his journeys brought perfumes to embalm his sacred body again in a manner more proper than Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had been able to do before. St. John makes mention of Mary Magdalene only because it was his intention to give a particular relation of all that she did. But we learn from the other evangelists that there were three holy women at the sepulchre together, namely Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Christ rose again, leaving the stone and seals still lying on the sepulchre. But as this was to be believed by others also, after the resurrection the tomb was opened, and thus the belief of what had taken place propagated. This it was that struck Mary Magdalene, for as soon as she saw the stone rolled from the sepulchre, without entering or even looking into it, she immediately ran in the ardor of her affection to carry the news to the disciples. So says St. John Chrysostom. They saw the linen cloths lying there. St. John Chrysostom takes notice that Christ's body being buried with myrrh, the linen would stick as fast to the body as pitch, so that it would be impossible to steal or take away the body without the linen cloths. He did not yet believe that Jesus was risen from the dead, because he was still ignorant that he was to rise from the dead. For although the apostles had so often heard their divine master speak in the most plain terms of his resurrection, still being so much accustomed to parables, they did not understand, and imagined something else was meant by these words. So says St. Augustine.